What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Johnny Mac here. Just wanted to give you a heads up that if you are looking for a community that is open to discussion as far as mentorship, conservation, the wild, becoming a better person, and all of that, there is a group for you on Facebook, and it is called Soul Seekers. Soul Seekers, we are all about making ourselves a better person. We're all about making sure hunting lasts for generations to come and encouraging people to get plugged in. Whether you are someone who has something to give or someone who needs to soak it up like a sponge, this is a community for you, and I strongly encourage you that if you're on Facebook to join Soul Seekers, and if you're not on Facebook, hop on there just for that group. It is only going to be as powerful as we all make it. And so just remember that life happens for you. It doesn't happen to you. And that you can't outgive good. You can't outgive good, people. I want you to understand that. And I want you to believe it. Because when we believe that and we lead with courage and we lead with intention, lives are changed. Lives are transformed. Just like on this podcast, Transformation Through Primal Adventure. Be blessed. Enjoy this episode. Talk soon. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I'm on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters, both new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The Soulful Hunter Podcast is also proudly presented by T&K Hunting Gear. If you haven't heard about T&K, then it's about time you do. I've been using T&K gear out in the field and on hunts and have fallen in love with their stuff. T&K is veteran-owned and 100% made in America using only American-made products. All their gear is covered under a lifetime warranty with no questions asked. If it breaks or fails, they will fix it or replace it for free. T&K is your resource for bino harnesses, bow slings, and a lot more amazing gear. For more information about T&K hunting gear, go to tnkhunting.com. Or search for them on Facebook and Instagram. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Read them on and stay soulful. The Soulful Hunter Podcast is also proudly presented by the Crazy Elk Company. Based out of the state of Washington with products made in America, they are providing solutions with gear to problems you didn't even know you had. Their tag wallet is one of those solutions, and I had the pleasure of using it on all of my hunts this last year, and it is now a mainstay in my kill kit. The Tag Wallet is a water-resistant zippered pouch that comes with its own reusable zip ties to safely and securely store your notch tag for quick and easy access. For more information, go to crazyelkcompany.com and use the code SOULFUL with a capital S to save 20% at checkout. Be blessed, everyone, and as always, stay soulful. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack, and today I got a really cool episode dedicated to all you veterans out there and all you military guys. We have Bam, also known as Brian Marshall, but we like to just call him Bam in the industry, and if you ever met him, you'd know him as just Bam as well. He is an awesome guy, and he's the founder of Wishes for Warriors. And if you have watched Skullbound TV with Jana Waller, you got to see a wonderful episode where Jana likes to work in combination with Wishes for Warriors, and Bam was a big part of that episode in helping a fellow veteran who didn't have any legs get out and hunt and be successful on taking an animal. And just the whole story was absolutely incredible. And so as a part of the Soulful Hunter and the mission that we do with transforming lives through primal adventure, I thought there's no better conversation to have than to get Bam on here and talk about why it is that he does what he does, because it's so powerful. We know that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure, and we know that it extends beyond being out in the field. So without further ado, Bam, my man, thanks for joining us for an episode. Yeah, it is, you know, it's so much fun connecting with faces that I see on social media. So I followed your account for a long time, and I'm like, who is this guy? You know, he's slightly outspoken. He speaks his mind. He seems like a cool dude. And, you know, finally I was like, you know what? I need to get him on a podcast. And so here we are recording. And I just want to say thank you first and foremost for what you've done for this country. What you've done for everyone in the society, whether they are grateful or ungrateful, it's important to acknowledge everything that you guys have done and laid down on the line for us. So I really appreciate it.
I appreciate that. It means a lot.
Yeah, it means a lot to me as well. I saw 2001 was my senior year of high school, and we were, you know, senior year football. We had a great team. We were supposed to win state that year. We ended up losing state playoffs. But September 11th was my senior year of class. And I remember being in a contemporary world issues class, and all of a sudden the topic switched and we talked nothing else except for terrorism and America getting attacked and all this. And so I saw Black Hawk Down. I wanted to be an Army Ranger, jump out of helicopters, be surrounded. But sports took me to college rather than me joining the military right out of high school. And the rest is history. Here we are having a conversation. But brother, thank you for what you do. Tell us a little bit about your history. I know you also are a former athlete that decided to give it all up to serve. So give a little background on your story.
Originally, I'm from upstate New York. I'm from a village on the Canadian border. Literally the Canadian border. Grew up pretty much on an island on the St. Lawrence River. It's where I spend most of our, you know, spring, summer, falls. And then, I was pretty gifted at sports and football, and, you know, I should have gone to do that college route, but same thing, you know. I remember sitting in class and, you know, being from New York, when the World Trade Center got hit the first time, you know, I remember one of the teachers come running into our room and was like, oh my God, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And I had buddies with their dads. They worked there. And so it was kind of a big deal. So we all, like, you know, and I'll never forget where I was sitting, and my teacher and Mr. Agliano, he turned on the TV literally probably 5 seconds before the second plane hit. Like, as soon as it turned on, we turned on the news, and then they were showing the World Trade Center, and then it hit. We're all like, holy shit, like, okay, this is real. Like, this wasn't an accident. And, you know, and at the time I was getting recruited pretty heavily by a bunch of big schools. And, you know, it was one of those decisions where I watched, it was kind of easy for me in a way. I was watched all the other kids ahead of me go to college, and they all flunked out. They all drank themselves out of school, all the stars, right? All the kids that were going to go D1 and hockey and football and everything else. And guess where they were within a year or two, right? Back at home, right? So I always had that in the back of my head. I'm like, God, I'm next in line. And then the war broke out, and I was like, fuck, I'm out of here. You know, like, this is my, and coming from such a small town, it's hard to get out of there. You're either working for somebody's, you know, dad or painting houses or laying brick your whole life. So this was kind of like my calling when the war broke out. I was like, man, this is it. This is my out. So I went to the recruiter's office and I walked in. I was like, hey, I want to join the Marine Corps. And I was pretty easy, you know. He's like, well, when do you want to leave? I'm like, after Christmas. I want to go. I want one more New Year's here, then I'm out. And so signed the dotted line, went home, told my dad I joined the Marine Corps. And he was like, well, you better go unjoin the Marine Corps. You got college ball to play. And I was like, no, I'm out. And I did about one last year, graduated and joined the Marine Corps. Did 8 years in the Marine Corps. Loved every bit of it. Did two deployments to Iraq. It was probably one of the greatest times of my life. I actually have a buddy that's going to be in town here this weekend that I haven't seen since 2012. And we deployed together. I mean, we were in boot camp together. So I'm really looking forward to that. It opened up so many doors of friendships. You know, I mean, these guys are brothers that are, I mean, you can't even explain how, you know, close we are because of that. And then, you know, I ended up doing 8 years. I thought I was going to career it. It just wasn't for me. I loved everything I did. I accomplished everything I wanted to, but it was just time for me to move on and start a family. And I ended up getting out and going contracting overseas for a while. I was working in Afghan and then as doing the contractor life. And I ended up coming home from that and starting an executive security company where we were able to hire, just on one of my projects alone, we had over 155 employees. And I'd say 85% of that was veterans. And so, and the majority of that, they were unemployed or jobless vets coming into it. And so that's when I was able to actually really jump into the veteran community. And then that led me to starting Wishes, which I wanted to start Wishes previous to that, but just being in the Marine Corps and being in the vet and contracting, you just don't have time. And so once I actually built a company and we were doing well, I had a lot more time on my hands. And so, you know, it's kind of stemmed back to me losing my best friend in Iraq. And, you know, I always knew I wanted to do something. I mean, he got hit so early. His name was Lewis, and he got hit within like days of being overseas. And so it was pretty rough, you know? And so I always knew I wanted to. And then coming back from my deployments and watching buddies rotting away in their beds or houses and being wounded. And so, and helping a couple of those guys really kind of like just lined everything up. And so I knew I always wanted to kind of give back to the veteran community. And then one day I was hunting in Northern California, we were pig hunting. And I was like, man, why don't I have a vet here? And my buddy was like, dude, you get the guys here and we'll kill pigs. And so I drove like a 12-hour drive home. I drove home thinking about what I was going to do. I was like, oh, I'm going to help out 5 veterans a year. Like, that was my goal, just 5 vets. And I was going to be happy with it. And now it's just, I mean, we have clinics all over the country and we're doing all, it's grown quite a bit. And so, you know, it's awesome to be able to see the growth over the last 7 years and, you know, which has led me to meeting Jan. I mean, I've known Jana since almost day one of starting, you know, Wishes. And so I've known her. She's one of my best friends, man. I love Jana. She's good people. And so, you know, she's jumped on board and introduced us to so many people. And like, obviously we did that hunt this year with her, with Jonathan. And it's just been a hell of a ride, you know, the last few years and just growing an organization and trying to help out vets and get back to the community and help out with the veteran side of the hunting community. And, you know, it's a handful. It's a lot of work, but you know, we're definitely kicking ass at it. And I love the team that I got working for us. And, you know, it's been a good run.
I love it. You know, so one of the mottos of this podcast is that you can't outgive good. There's no such thing as when you put good out into the world, you don't do it because you want some type of response or some type of trophy. You do it because it's just the good and right thing to do. You just give, you know, whether you consider it charity or mentorship or just whatever it is. The idea is that we want to put out into the world. And what we put out into the world just naturally comes back to us. There's so many people that need support and that could use support, and especially veterans these days with PTSD and all the different trauma that's going on and the things that they saw and experienced overseas that, man, I know as a civilian here that I have my own trauma that I get to grow out of and grow up and face. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine having that and all the trauma that comes from serving in the military and serving overseas. And so I know the power of hunting. I also know the power of hunting when it's given to somebody who doesn't have much hope or doesn't have much of a fighting spirit left.
Absolutely. Yeah, we when we started Wishes, like, that was my passion, right? And that was like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I'm good at it. Like, I can take these guys hunting, you know? Like, I'm not some race car driver. I don't know how to rappel. You know, I'm not going to go out and teach these guys some crazy things that I don't know, right? So going into it, I was like, okay, I know how to kill things. I know how to have fun. And we'll show these guys a great time. So let's just take these guys on some trips. Well, as times evolve, you have to evolve with it, right? You're growing, you grow or die, you evolve or die. And so over the years, when we first launched Wishes, when we first came out, you know, you had Walter Reed that was full of veterans, that were full of guys that were missing limbs or traumatic brain injuries or burns. And it was horrible, you know, and these guys were just laying there, just rotting away. So, you know, we were just so focused on getting these guys. I mean, I was taking guys out that still had sutures that weren't even healed up. They're bleeding on trips. And, you know, it was crazy times. And so now that those days of guys coming back on a cyclic rate of being wounded have slowed down quite a bit, thank God. You know, things change, you know, they're what they were looking for at that time has changed. The programs or the help that they needed then is different now. A lot of these guys have healed, you know, either mentally or physically, or they need either or now they're more trying to start families or trying to start a business or trying to you know, venture into the career field of the civilian world. And so as we see these veterans growing through our program, instead of them coming back and being like, hey, I'm ready to go on another trip, they're coming to us like, is there any way you can help me with this? Or can I, is there anybody that can show me how to learn this and teach me this? And so we've sat back and like, man, okay, like we're getting a lot of feedback back of vets that need help other places. And so what we've done is shifted gears big time over the last 2 to 3 years. Instead of just being almost 100% outdoor hunting, fishing activities, we have scholarships out now. We have a scholarship through BSU, Boise State. It's a hardship fund. So the first thing vets do when they fall on hard times, they drop out of school, right? It's like, no, just stick it out, please. Just finish your degree, stick it out, whatever we can do to help you, because we have these guys that want to hire vets when they get their degree, you know? And then it was like, we have wives reaching out to us like, hey, is there any way you can help my husband and I just reconnect? And we're like, well, shit, maybe we need to do these couples retreats and send them out places. So then it just started snowballing, right? So now we go from just hunting to scholarships, family retreats, couples retreats. We have clinics. We're doing these clinics now where we're sending. We just got back from Salt Lake last week. We spent a week down there snowboarding. We hit 3 different mountains, brought out a bunch of guys down there. And it's just, now it's a camaraderie building, right? Now these guys are being able to connect with fellow Marines or fellow soldiers. And it's just like a brotherhood. And so now, instead of like the one-on-one help that we were really pinpointed focusing on, was the one-on-one help in the early days. Now that they've gone through that healing stages, now it's a camaraderie. Now it's like the boys are back, right? And so that's what a lot of these guys miss. And so it's just, we need that. And we've shifted gears over the years, and it's, we're constantly, you know, it's just constantly something new. Okay, what do these guys need now? And so, and what's really cool is we have vets that are reaching out to us with the ability, not even veterans, anybody really, since we've launched this clinic and the seminars, we have people in all forms reaching out with like, hey, my husband and I build Adirondack chairs and these awesome wooden beds. We would love to have a couple of vets come out and build their own furniture. We're like, perfect, right? I got his name's James Nash. I'm sure you know James. 6-ranch fly fisher, 6-ranch outfitters. He's out of Oregon. 2-time Purple Heart Marine. He's a captain. He's a tanker. Guy's a stud. He's got a podcast. Well, I mean, the guy's he's just an all-around American, right? Well, been buddies with him for several years. He heard about the clinic. Now he's hosting a whole fly fishing seminar. So we're going to teach these guys how to tie flies. We're going to learn how to fly fish and be able to put it all to work. So when they go home, now they know the art. They know the basics of, man, this is how I can tie these knots. This is how I can actually make my own flies. And then they can continue that passion. So we're actually right now we're trying to lock on some ranches for next year to start doing hunter 101 programs for vets. And so, you know, a lot of these organizations where I think they really mess up is, and it's not messing up in a negative way, I don't think they've realized what's going on yet, is they have these vets come out, they take them to these ranches, they shoot an elk, they shoot a deer, cool, congratulations, you get awesome pictures, some awesome content with it, and they send them home, we'll ship you your meat, we'll ship you your mouth. What the fuck did the vet learn, right? Like, what did he get out of that? Yeah. And so my thing is, I want these guys to come out, and so we're trying to find these ranches right now that have just cow elk hunts and doe hunts. And we're going to bring these guys out in, from start to finish, from how to spot and stalk, how to set up a rifle on a weird shooting positions, you know, just the basics of everything. Like, these are the basic fundamentals so these guys can go home now. We're going to teach them how to field dress, how to gut, how to bone, how to, you know, debone, how to pack a pack. So, you know, it's just stuff like that, because I want these guys to go home and I want them tagging us in photos. I want them to, like, send us a picture of a doe that their son, you know, that they killed with their son, or a little spike or whatever, right? So they can continue that passion. So that's really what we're shifting gears now, kind of getting away from the one-on-one individual hunts, which we'll do. We're all for it. You know, we're never going to say no to it. But now it's more, it's teaching, it's educating. Like, how do we get these guys and their kids out? Bring your kid, you know, like, let's let your kid kill a doe. You guys can kill one together for the first time, share that memory. But then guess what? We're going to teach you and your son, or you and your daughter, how to take care of it and process it from here, start to finish. Then you get to learn how to vacuum. This is how I process, how I seal my meat. This is, you know, these are the steps of what I've learned and what I've screwed up over these. Because, I mean, I grew up hunting. My dad is a huge outdoorsman. But when I came to processing meats and all that. Like, it was, I never really was like part of it. You know, like obviously deer, you know, not deer, but like we were a huge waterfowl family growing up. So obviously like, God, I could skin 100 ducks in like 10 minutes. It seems like it's just horrible. We're breasting them out, you know? And so that's just how I grew up. So when it came out to like Western hunting, I really had to teach myself a lot of it. And so like, I had the fundamentals. My dad taught me everything like that I know, trapping, fishing, you know, you name it. But there's a difference between East Coast and West Coast hunting. And so it was like, it's a culture shock. And so I want to be able to teach these guys the fundamentals that they can go and take anywhere. And if it's a whitewater rafting trip, if it's a snowboarding, we got downhill mountain biking clinics that we're providing for these guys. We just want to give these guys the ability to learn and have something that's kind of a passion. They might think it's something that's, and then experience it, but they can take it home and run with it is kind of our main goal right now. We've it's changed so much, you know, and it's just insane.
Yeah, absolutely. And it plays really well into my mission of mentorship as conservation, because when you teach somebody how to do something, it lasts for a lifetime, but it's not a guide service. It's not, hey, there's an animal, shoot it. It's a process. It's community. It's relationships. And it's following up with people as well. You know, you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. You teach a man to fish, he eats for a lifetime if he's any good at fishing. But it is huge. And it's so important to make sure, like, I just want to take a step back. Listeners, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about you, Bam. It is about serving other people and making this world a better place. You have veterans who have been serving and laying down their life on the line for this country and what it stands for, and freedom and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And yet, so often, where's the support and help? And so it is where we as a community, and we, I mean the hunting community, we as humans get to support people. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, straight, liberal, conservative. Like, it doesn't matter. Kindness extends beyond anything. And stop putting people in a box and just start loving people.
And you know what it costs you? Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. It costs you a little bit of stepping out of your comfort zone. But that's what hunting is all about, is getting into uncomfortable positions, because that's where the reward is at. Man, that is phenomenal. Let's talk a little bit about that episode that you did with Jana. Lay it out for the people who have not seen that show and that episode. Can you give a little backstory on it and how it all played out?
Yeah, so we hunt out at, it's RNK Wyoming is the outfitter. So they donate a hunt or try to every year, depends, because it's a draw area. So a lot of times they'll get guys that have extra points or whatever, and so they'll donate the points, and we're able to take vets. Wyoming has a unbelievable veteran program. Like, if any guy wants to hunt, we just real quick, just before I forget, we get it can vary from 20 to 30 tags a season that we get donated to us through our organization for Wyoming. All you have to do is reach out to us, and we get all these tags, and we can put you on a mass email list, and we shotgun blast all these antelope, deer, muley, whitetail, elk tags, and all these veterans. But anyways, back to this trip. It's in Wyoming at the RNK Ranch, and we plan it. We try to do it every year with Gianna, which is an absolute blast. And Jonathan's a vet. He's a double amp, recon marine, absolute stud. The kid is just next level motivator, right? Like, nothing stops this guy. We've been kind of spent a lot of time with him this season on the mountain with his sit ski and everything. Anyways, we did this hunt a couple years prior with Eric Galvani. He was a triple amputee. It was horrible. We passed the bull the first day, and we spent the rest of the week chasing blizzards, running, freezing. It was horrible. We ended up getting it done the last day. It was awesome. So this time, Jana was like, Bam, if we see a shooter bull, we're not passing anything. And I was like, oh, hell no. Like, we're shooting the first bull we see. And so we get there, and it's the most unbelievable lodge. I mean, the RNK Wyoming got a team. I mean, they got their shit together. These guys, it's the top knots, the chefs, the food, the catering, it is everything that you want somebody to experience, especially such a deserving vet like Jonathan, you know, or any of these guys that have sacrificed everything. It's just a dream place. So we go out, we spend the whole first morning, and we come up, herd elk and just some spikes and some little rags running around. And we set up in the spot where the previous vet, Eric Galvan, he killed his bull. So we were like, man, if it happens in here, like, this is going to be insane to kill two bulls in this one little opening in this meadow. And so we no luck there. Well, I get a phone call from the owner, and he's like, we got a bull spot. It's a 6x6. You need to come kill this bull now. And so our guide that was with us, Rick, he guides us every year. This guy's awesome. He's off call, and he went by like 100 yards, 150 yards behind us over this little ridge to just cow call so we could draw anything, you know, to us. Well, I take off running because now it's late afternoon. Like, we're running out of daylight. And so I run over to Rick. I grab him. I'm like, dude, the guy's got a bull spotted. And he's like, where? I'm like, I don't know. Call, you know, make a phone call, see that. We make a phone call. And he's like, dude, this bull's like 45 minutes to an hour away. He's like, we got to haul ass off this mountain. So I throw John on my back. We're running back to the ATV, jump in it. We're doing like, it seemed like 100 miles an hour in this ATV, back to the lodge. We get to the lodge, throw everything in the truck, throw guns. I mean, you name it. We're just throwing shit in this truck. We got like a 45-minute drive once we get back to the lodge. So we're hauling ass. We get on the freeway. We go to this other ranch that they have. We come pulling up. Boom. I can see this bull at like 1,200 yards bedded on the side of this hill. I'm like, there it is. And so glass it up. We come up with a game plan. And we wanted to come in from above it. And it was like, let's just come in above. Well, there was this big hill kind of in between him where he was on the side of this mountain. And there was like a big anthill looking hill in between us. And I was like, do we have to drive by that? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, let's just, I ranged a little hill and I ranged where that hole was. And I thought it was about a 400 yard difference. And we got rifles. I mean, Nosler built a rifle for that hunt. It was awesome. And I was like, oh, that's a chip shot. Like, we'll just hammer that bull instead of coming in from above it, trying to find them. And I'm like, we can pretty much never take our eyes off this bull. We'll walk up the backside of this hill and just hammer them. So we drive up to the base of this hill. John gets on my back, and we're off to the races, you know. And it, at the time, it looked like a gradual incline, or like not that big of a hill. And then we get to the base of it. I'm looking up, and I'm like, oh, God, this is going to suck. So I'm like, well, buddy, you know, and we got a little pack frame. And so I throw the dude on my back and off we go. And I make it about halfway up before I'm just like about to throw up. Cause we're, you know, the sun's setting, like we're crunched for time. This isn't some mid after the moon, bull's bedded. We got all day. Like, this bull's going to be on his feet soon and he's by himself. So it's like a perfect scenario. We don't got to worry about anything except for this bull. So long story short, we end up getting up there. I am just drenched, dripping sweat. I'm about to throw up. I'm like dry heaving. Cause I mean, dude, even though Jonathan's missing his legs, like, he's a stocky dude, man. He's solid. And we get down, we crawl up to right up to the ridge, and that bull's still bedded. Perfect. We get the guns out. Everything's ready to go. And he's a recon sniper. I mean, the guy can shoot. And we range this bull, and they're like, all right, he's kind of quartering away from us bedded. And they're like, all right, we'll just shoot him. I was like, let's wait for this bull to stand up. So Rick, the guy, he's like, hey, I'm going to cow call, get ready. So we cow called. And so come to find out, we were 299 yards or 300 yards from this bull. And it's like, we're level with it. So we're shooting straight across one, like through this little canyon, all right, 300 yard shot. Cow call, bull stands up, boom, vet hammers it, racks around, bull runs like 200 yards, stops. Boom, I'm talking the second that bull wasn't even stopped. A half a second, puts one right dead center in him again. And a bull just nose up, tips over. I mean, it was so awesome to be able to have everything come together the first day too, thank God. And so, yeah, it was just one of those trips where everything worked out so perfect. I mean, to be able to go there and experience that with them was just, it was awesome, you know. And of course, Jan, being a camp with Jan is just so much fun. I mean, she's a riot, so.
Yeah, and just so it's not missed on people, when Bam said he was carrying this guy, he didn't have any legs. He was literally.
He's too high for prosthetics, pretty much. So he's pretty much wheelchair bound, but I mean, he's super athletic, so he runs on his hands. Like, he could climb. I mean, he's bored with us. I've been snowboarding with him like four times this year. So, I mean, the guy's super athletic, but like, it's sleep and straight up. And, you know, we have a little meat frame pack, and and I used to carry these guys on my back, right? I just throw them on, they just hang on, and I hold their legs or their nubs, and it was just horrible. And so, like, 2 years ago, I have an old pack frame that I used to put like my bait barrels on and stuff. And I'm like, God, man, I bet you a guy can just sit on here and sure as shit. So Jana had one from one of her pack companies and she brought one. And it's just this little pack frame and I put it on and I just squat down and Jonathan jumps on. So the weight is like packing 130 pounds around, you know? And that way they're not choking me and they're not holding my neck. He just puts his hands on my shoulder. So he just hangs on and then I can just take off. So it makes life so much easier. And, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're still running up and down with 130 pounds on your back. It's just, it's not easy. Either coming up, I think going down is even worse, but you know, it's just, it's, but it, it makes it easy. It makes life easier. I'm not, it takes a lot of that weight off my back and choking you. And so it's fun when you get to do it like that.
And it just goes to show that no matter how much it sucks, no matter how hard it is, it's always worth it.
It's oh yeah.
Always worth it. That is, it's inspiring. One of the things I wanted to get you on here so that you could talk to the listeners about how they can get involved and how they can support you and your mission. And, you know, because one of the biggest issues that I come across when it comes to the concept of mentorship is that everyone is like, well, I don't know enough, or I don't have enough, or I don't have enough experience. Or at the end of the day, it's time, and time is love. And it doesn't matter how knowledgeable you are, how versed you are, how experienced you are. When you give out of the kindness of your heart, it changes the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can people get involved? How can people support? How can, you know, like, let's bridge the gap. Let's create a conduit for people that are out there that have a heart for others and also can direct that focus.
I mean, honestly, man, it's so simple. I mean, you can help by, if you know a vet, like, so, I mean, just kind of a little recap on our organization. All of our vets are 50% wounded due to combat, either body or mind. You don't need any physical injuries, you know, PTSD, everything, all that counts, but you have to be service connected. And I set it up that way is because when I came back from all of our deployments, I was watching these kids that were at the Wounded Warrior Battalion on base that had never been deployed, and they were, I mean, they were wounded, but not, they'd never been deployed, right? Like crashing motorcycles or getting drunk and falling off the third deck because they were wasted on a Friday evening, right? So, and I'm watching my buddies rotting away in beds while these kids are going to all these events. They're going to Anaheim Ducks games. They're going on hunting trips and fishing trips. And my buddies that had actually deployed and gotten hurt, they're just laying there. I'm like, this is fucked. So when I started my organization, I was like, I want those guys to go to the front of the line. Any man, guy, or girl that has ever been on the front lines, they should never have to wait. In my opinion, this is my eyes, right? They should never have to wait and get in line with somebody that knows everybody served, right? Like, I'm not taking that away, but like, if these kids that have never deployed before, why are they ahead of these guys that are missing limbs or these girls that have been through hell and back? You know, that's how I looked at it. And so we set our bylaws up to it so that everybody's 50% combat wounded. Service connected. And so the way that people could get involved is so simple. I mean, we have people, man, I don't have money to donate. You don't need money. You don't need money to help. I mean, if you have a connection, you know, somebody that gets a landowner tag that has a bunch of cow elk that come on their property every winter and they need them shot, right? Just make a phone call. They can contact us and we'll bring vets out and we do that all over the place. If you have a connection where if you have a skill or a talent, they're able to actually go online and let us know. Like if somebody wants to host a clinic, it could be long range shooting. It could be how to write resumes. It could be how to start a business, how to be an entrepreneur. Like anybody with any service, now that we have these seminars or these clinics, are able to provide. And so what we're allowing people to do is pretty much you find us three options for Airbnbs, you find us an option for airports, for travel, and we're pretty much funding these events for people to go and host, right? And so while we're learning this, like that's where I just got back from was training my two new reps that were actually, that's part of the program. Now they are the program. So they're giving back now, which is like the complete circle in my eyes is the vets that we were helping one day are now giving back. So they're running this clinic program now. And I mean, obviously money is what keeps the lights on our organization. Like, I don't know if we're recording this, but I'm in my office in my house, just like you are, right? This is Wishes' headquarters. We don't have an office. Like, it's kind of embarrassing because a lot of sponsors come through town like, hey, we'll meet you at the office. We're like, we'll meet for lunch, you know, because like they don't know that we run this out of our house. And so I mean, I'd say most people do now just because we don't hide it anymore for some reason. We thought it was like really embarrassing in the early days, but you know, it's just one of those things. It's less overhead, right? So, I mean, people can obviously donate. That's what keeps the lights on and keeps the programs going. If somebody has a service or something they can offer up, I mean, it's so simple. If you know a vet that you feel is struggling, we allow people to submit on behalf of them. Obviously, we're going to need to reach out and do our due diligence to get the right paperwork and documentation. But, I mean, we have sisters, we have daughters, we have mothers, we have fathers that submit for loved ones all the time. So and vets are stubborn, man. I mean, it's just who we are. And so a lot of guys are prideful and they don't want to swallow it, even though when we do need help, it's just, we're guys, I'm guilty of it, you know? And it's sometimes it's just, you need a little kick in the ass or a wife or a girlfriend or brother or sister to be like, hey, like, I'm going to get you on this and you're going to go hang out with the boys for a weekend or do a downhill mountain bike trip. So just things like that. You know, like we had a guy come out, he's a professional snowboarder. And he came out and spent the week with these guys, was teaching them all kinds of stuff because he wanted to hang out with them. So just things like that. So the misconception of people thinking you have to have money to support an organization is completely false with us. Like a trade, to offer up anything, like just a skill that you can want to be able to pass on to somebody, guys want to learn it. There's somebody out there that wants to learn it. And so that's what we're kind of focusing on here for the next year or two before we launch the new programs, is to get these clinics up and going. And, you know, the kind of like you were saying earlier, kind of like the hunting recruitment program. There's so many of these guys that don't know how to hunt. And so if there's somebody out there and I know guys that are in Texas, they got to kill 50 does at the end of the year. If you get these deprivation tags and do these big call hunts, we'll bring vets out and let them shoot 20, 30 does in a weekend. We teach them everything. We've done in the past, and we donate all that meat to these organizations to help feed homeless vets. I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world. So just things like that. It doesn't take much. I mean, we help cover all the expenses and things like that. So there's a million ways. And if anybody wants to reach out, it's wishes4warriors.org is our website. And so they can reach out there on any social media platform. It's just, you know, are the best ways of doing it. If they're a vet that are listening to this and they want to get out, hit us up. I mean, we got a lot of things going on. We're always looking for guys, especially we have a lot of last minute trips that pop up all the time. Guys will be like, hey, we got a trophy deer hunt. We need this to happen. And next week, we're like, oh shit. And we start scrambling, you know, and we try to find guys. So, you know, it's awesome to be able to have and that's how we get all those tags in Wyoming. We got a couple of guys that know a lot of landowners. They go around every year. They have all of them put in for tags and they're all donated to us. And then we just send these guys and we're like, here's Onyx Maps. Here's your unit. Go door knock. Play the wounded veteran card. Tell them that, hey, you're out here. I'm just trying to get it done. Nobody says no to vet. Well, most people, unless they're communists, don't steal. It's an antelope. Nobody says no to antelope, you know, especially in Wyoming. They want every one of those little bastards dead. So, you know, it's just one of those things. These guys have a blast. They're sending us pictures, and guys are bringing their, getting all their buddies together, and we give them all their tags to get there. And it's just, here you go. Save your receipts. We don't pay for alcohol or anything, but we'll cover your gas and hotel and food. Go have fun, you know, and these guys have a blast. Because obviously we can't take 30 guys on myself. Like, we just don't have the manpower for it. So we have a lot of DIY hunts, but we do have guided hunts, so we take guys on. But the ones that want to go and do just get a tag and want to make it happen, if you can't kill an antelope in Wyoming, like, we got some problems. Or if you can't find an antelope in Wyoming, we got problems. So, you know, and they come back and they're sending us pictures and every one of them, the greatest time of my life, had such a blast. I can't wait to do it again. And that's all we care about.
I love that. I love that. And so just going full circle here, you are running Wishes for Warriors, but at the same time, you also now work for a company in Cryptek, who was, you know, their mission is battlefield to the backcountry. How cool is it now to also be a part of a company that has your same foundation and background and now also understands the importance and the power of what hunting does and that aspect?
I got lucky, man. I got really lucky. So I've known Cryptek I've been wearing Cryptek for probably 6-7 years now. And I just became really good friends with them, you know, just at all the shows, and they would sponsor gear for vets, and, you know, they've always had my back. And so, you know, they came to me a while back and they're like, hey, like, we'd love to have you come on and help kind of build some programs or, you know, help on the backside of the house, kind of just re-tighten things up, you know, and helping the company grow. And I actually was like completely against it at first because they're friends, and I hate working with or for friends. And so it took a lot of thinking. And I remember the first phone call I got was like middle of September, beginning of September. I was in Wyoming, actually elk hunting. And Josh, one of the owners, called me. He's like, "Hey man, like, what's it gonna take for you to come work for us?" I was like, "Yeah, fuck that. Like, I'm not coming to, like, I'm, dude, I'm elk hunting, man. Like, I'm not coming to work for you." And he's like, "All right, like, touch base with me after the season." So, you know, and I didn't, because I really wasn't too interested. And he came to me again, and he kind of trapped me on New Year's. We had a New Year's party together, and he told me to come over early. He's like, "Listen, you're coming to work for me. I need help." And I was like, all right, I'll go give it a try. But I was like, "Listen, like, when I'm in that office, we ain't boys. Like, this is work, you know?" So I wanted to make that very clear. Like, when I come work for friends, with, there's, we got to handle shit, we handle it. And so, you know, it's one of those things. And it just, it's been awesome, man. I mean, right now, like, I overlook the customer service and sales department, so I'm the direct manager for that. But then my main role is the guide and outfitter program. So, you know, I'm converting, trying to just get on as many guide and outfitters as possible and getting those guys hooked up, because, you know, the guides and outfitters are what run this industry, in my opinion. You know, without them, I mean, 90% of these people aren't going to be doing anything. So, you know, it's just, that's why people hire killers to take them hunting, you know, because that's what these guys do, and they want the gear, they want the best gear. So I pride myself on being able to get some good guys in our gear. And so also running the marketing team, or not running the marketing team, I work with the marketing team. So we all work together on social, and it's just, it's insane, man. Like, the hats that you wear there, I go from customer service to dealing with guide and outfitters, and I sat in a 4-hour marketing meeting today. So It's quite the change up. Like, it's something new every single day. And being able to work for two veterans is awesome. Like, they get it. Like, our office manager, which is our HR, I mean, she's like this woman that'll just tell you to pound salt so quick. And like, there's no, this is the most, like, it's a lot like the military. I mean, everybody just tells everybody to piss off all the time and is just running around. And so it's fun, you know, and it's just, it's a really cool atmosphere. I mean, these guys are studs. I mean, they're both Apache pilots. They got out and they flew together. I mean, their story is just incredible. You should get them on one of these days. I mean, and talk to Butch. I mean, the guy's got the most incredible stories you've ever heard. But, you know, so it was an easy transition for me, and it makes it fun. And obviously they allow me to be able to do the things I want to do with my organization, and I get to hunt as much as I want. So it's kind of a good fit for me. And I've been enjoying it so far.
That's awesome. I love it. It's so cool to get plugged in with it. Well, working in your passion changes your life. It really does transform your life.
For good or bad, though. Like, I've tried other avenues and things, and it's just, and honestly, like, I hate being involved with the hunting industry. I'll be completely honest with you. Cause like, I don't, and if everything went away right now, I'm going to be out with my daughters on the mountains killing shit no matter what. Like, I don't care. It's who I am, and it's who we are as a family. And so I don't care about, and honestly, that's why for so long I was like, yeah, like, not just friends. Like, I don't want to be part of the industry. Like, I'm already enough involved with my organization, but like, this is fun to me, you know, like, it's my life. Like, I enjoy it. But then when you're, it could go either way, because like, I love guiding for clients, because I love being successful and accomplishing good clients, I should say, you know, which I'm very fortunate. The outfit I work with, we have very, very good clients. And so when you put something on like a deer of a lifetime, it, that's where like, I get my joy from. But it's just, at the same time, when you cross that line, you have to know, like, a lot of it becomes work. And I don't ever want hunting to be work for me. I want it to be able to go out. I want no pressure. I want to spend as little time or as much time as I want. I don't have to worry about anything. So that's why with CryptTag, like, I was really scared at first. I was like, God, like, I drew all these tags this year. Like, I'm not missing these tags. Like, I don't care. I'll quit. And so, you know, like, this is me. This is who I am. You know, my wife hates it. But I was just like, if these guys aren't going to let me go and stop these tags. And of course, like, the first year I start there, I draw like 9 tags. And I'm like, oh God, this is going to be horrible. I'm going to be gone the whole fall. And I was like, hey, I got another tag. And it was like, are you leaving again? I was like, listen, like, I'm going. Like, this is, you guys knew this, signing me on. I'm like, I hunt my ass off. I don't kill a lot, but I hunt my ass off. And so, yeah, but they're just like, yep, as long as I'm out having fun, getting content for them, they let me kind of, you know, and the job's done at the end of the day, and my job's done, then I kind of get to just run free. So it's fun.
I love it. I love it. What would you say hunting has done for you?
Man, honestly, like, growing up in the hunting community, like, it's just, you know, I wasn't tossed into it. So I've grown up with it, right? So I've evolved, and it's hard for me to look back of like what hunting's done for me, but what hunting has done for me with my kids. Now that, like, that's where I pride myself. Like, I mean, that's where my joy is now. You know, before it was like, oh, I gotta kill. You know, like, I want to kill. I didn't care if it was big or small. Like, that's why I've never killed a big bull, because I just kill the first fucking bull that walks in every time. Like, my buddies I hung with are like, give me your release, give me your arrow. I was like, not until we know we're on a good bull. I'm like, nope, like, Lego rifle. And they're like, give me your mag. Like, you're not, it's because I'll see the first thing that walks out. I'm like, that looks mature. Like, just hammer it, right? And so, like, same thing with archery. Like, that's why I never kill big bulls. And I give people so much hell online, you know, not like because of doing anything else, but mainly elk. I'm like, kill every elk. Kill the first one that walks in. That's what I tell everybody. They're like, I'm passing. I'm shooting a big one this year. I'm like, yeah, me too. And then like a little rag 5x5 runs in at like 10 feet. I'm like, you're dead. Swing. You just put an arrow through it because I enjoy it, you know. But now that my daughters are at that age, like, in, especially my oldest, man, she's a stud. Like, she's 12 years old. And we turned 13 this spring. I mean, that kid passed on 20 bears this spring. So last spring. And so, you know, that's where hunting has really brought us the closer together, is because I can get my kids out there and we just have the time of our life. Like, there's some times where things get a little Western and high pressure, like when we're on something big, or, you know, we got to make a move or a plan. But it's so awesome to me that we're so, like, this year I've been working a lot with Hunting Fool and getting my daughter put in for youth tags. There's so many youth tags that are available that people don't know about. And so, like, I was like, I told the wife this year, I'm like, listen, like, I'm putting in for all my normal tags, but, like, I'm putting my oldest in for everything, every state, every tag, I'm putting her in for it. And because there's some really good youth opportunities. So for me, like, to answer that question, like, where hunting is, like, changed me or helped me, like, it's with my kids, man. Like, I'm so excited to be on the mountain this spring bear hunting again with them. And like, my daughter, she drew a black bear tag in for Oregon. She's got a turkey tag there, and she got a turkey tag for Utah already. So we're gonna have already off to a busy start. I think we're gonna go down to Texas and hunt Audad and Blacktail. There's a place where I got some free range ones that they're running. I mean, the build to hunt, I don't know if you've ever hunted Audad. It's the greatest. It's on top of my list. It's one of the most underplayed animals, dude. I'm telling you, it's like hunting antelope, but like a sheep. It just, you don't got to get up early. It's chill. You just drive around in glass and drink beer all day or whatever. You find one, you shoot, right? Like, it's still Texas money, but they're all free range. So I'm trying to get my daughter down and bring her down this year and let her shoot one because she really wants one. So, you know, it's just fun. It just creates great memories, you know? Like, and I always tell, like, I got these buddies and I have so many neighbors and friends that, like, their kids just play video games all day. And we'll be talking like, God, I wish I could get my kid back out. I'm just like, just do it. Turn that crap off. When is a kid going to grow up and be like, you're going to be sitting with your kid when he's one, you know, he could be 20 one day. And you think you're going to be sitting there and be like, man, Dad, I can't believe all those skins I unlocked on Worlds of Warcraft or whatever, like Call of Duty. You know, like, nobody talks about, dude, you sit down with my kids right now, they have the craziest stories. I called in a bull last year when we were bear hunting last spring. There's bulls in our camp. I had a predator call. I started cow calling at it. Dude, this bull comes running right up to us. We had a mountain lion walk 5 feet from us while we were sitting on this trail one day, like bears. I mean, it's just, we had a bear almost run us over one time on a trail, like come hauling ass by us. Like, it's just crazy stories. Like, and that's what I want to, like, provide for my kids. It's just a story. And it doesn't mean you got to be out killing things. Just go. Just get out. Go for a hike. Go for a walk. Go explore things. You know, we're catching rubber boas. My girls are catching rattlesnakes. Like, I just try to give them the best childhood memories as I can. And like, that's what I strictly focus myself on now with hunting. And it's weird because it was all about me up until, you know, a year or two ago. I was like, I just want to kill everything. I just want to spend every waking moment out in the fields or on the mountain. And now it's like, okay, what do I got next for my kids? You know, like, what can we hunt? Okay, my oldest or my youngest is going to be 6. What states can she hunt in? Do we got to go to Texas? I got to go to tags? Like, so that's kind of like what I'm looking forward to now is hunting with my kids. And I want these next few years until they're out of the youth program. I want to have the most fun with them as I can.
I love that. That is so awesome. So powerful. I totally agree with you. I have 3 young boys, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1.5-year-old. And you know, they came into this world with their dad being a hunter, and it's like, dude, I can't wait until it's time for you guys to come join me. And, you know, filming hunts and stuff is fun to show and be like, okay, this is what you and I are going to get to go do. And dude, life is good, man. Life is good.
I mean, I've been packing my little one in and out. I mean, God, dude, I pack her into bear baits or backing down in the canyons, and she'd be so far in. She's like, this is when she was younger. Like, I'm talking like 3. And I just put her in my pack and be like, let's go. And I'd hike her back up to the truck, you know, and I make my oldest pack her little pack. And, you know, and it's with kids, it's so crucial. I'll see some of my buddies and they got their sons, right? And they pride themselves. Oh, it's my son. He's going to be a stud. And then they'll just almost ruin it because they push these kids so fast in the beginning. Yeah. And it's like, I mean, for the first season, my daughter didn't even have a pack. Right. She just walked with me and I'd pack all her crap, all the extra stuff for her. And then the next season I was like, hey, guess what, kid? You got your own pack this year. And she was all excited about it. Then it was like, hey, you get to carry your snacks and your water. And then it was like, hey, now you get to carry this. Or now I'm going to add this camera to your pack. So I slowly built her suck level. Right. Like, and by the end of the season, her second year, she's packing in my tripod, my camera. She's got extra ammo. She's got her own food and water. And she's not even complaining about it. But if you do that right out the gate, these kids are going to be like, this sucks, you know? So you slowly work them into it. Just make it fun for them. And that's what I've done. And everything is just an adventure or just trying to have fun and create stories for them. And now it's like, dude, my 12-year-old, we park. She gets her pack, puts her boots on, grabs my little one, and boom, they're gone. They go up the trail, and they know where we're glassing from. Then she'll set up her rifle. She's got her rifle, the tripod all set up, her bipod, wherever the situation is. She got her pack out, ready to put under her elbow for a shooting position. Like, and it's little things. Like, every time, okay, hey, let's try this time. You're like, hey, let's try this. Let's try across here, you know? And I'll let them learn. And so it's just – and now they've turned into these little machines, man, for – these girls to get tossed into it just a few years ago. I mean, I'll put them against any one of my buddies' kids or half my buddies, to be honest with you. And they're awesome. And I know I'm proud dad moment right now. I'm bragging. It probably sounds like an asshole, but you know, it's just one of those things. Like, it's just, you pride yourself on your kids, especially like the one who genuinely love it and look forward to it. Like, it's awesome. And so it's just, but you know, get them into it slow. You don't need a killer right out the gate. Just make it fun. And it sucks, dude, burning a tag on shooting a doe or like a spike that you never killed before. Cause you know, there's no, for me, I'm like, I'm not killing a spike cause I got to pack it out of here. You know, like that's how I look at things. Like, what's the level before we shoot this animal? Because like, now if it's a giant, I don't care where I'm at, but if it's like, you could probably use another year. Like, how far back are we? What with your kids? Like, who cares? You kill it. You're out till 1 a.m. You're walking out with headlamps. You're crossing creeks and rivers. And these kids are just like, what is going on? And then they pass out the truck, and then the next day, it's all they're talking about. And so then you're just like, okay, like, we had a blast. But who cares? You know, just go out and have fun. Shoot the spikes. Shoot the does with your kids. You know, let them dig around in it. Show them the hearts and show them the kidneys and liver and then the anatomy of an animal. Like, where else are they going to learn that? It's like, my kids are fascinating. Like, here's an elk heart. My daughters are holding, like, this is an elk heart? Like, what the heck? Like, it's so big. Then we brought it home. We sliced it up, cleaned out the inside, you know, trimmed it all up, and we fried it up and had a whole meal out of it. And they're like, this is amazing, because they were part of it. You know, you just make your kids part of the adventure. And so that's, I mean, I know that was kind of a rabbit hole tangent, but like, that's what that means. So you can't get me started on my kids, man. I'll talk about
them. I love it. I love it. I just want to say one of the coolest words of advice that I got was from Ryan Lampers, the Stealthy Hunter. And he told me, he goes, when you take your kids out a field, do scavenger hunts with them. It's not, don't make it so much about like actually killing an animal, like you're saying, but like, hey, how many tracks have you seen? Or have you found a track? Or have you
found a geese?
You know, look for a certain rock that's colored a certain way, or you know.
Well, it's the same thing. And I do that, you know, like obviously I'm at that point now, like, you know, okay, they, at least my oldest, like, she's pointing at like, dad, look at this bear tracker, this is a smell line. I'm just like, how the hell do you see that stuff, you know? And so, but yeah, in the beginning days, man, I'd stop and be like, hey, you see this? They'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, you know what this is? I'd be like, this is moose poop. I'd be like, or droppings, you know. I'd be like, listen, and when it's really dry, and like, I'd find really dry moose poop, like, break it open. Like, this is the fire starter. This is pretty much bark that's just been chewed, processed, and dried out. Like, these are little fire starters. And so now when my daughter's like, oh, dad, we can use these for fire starters. Or, oh, dad, we could use this moss. And like, so, you know, I'm still learning too. Like, there's always something to learn. There's no, I don't care who you are, always something to learn. And so, you know, my daughters will ask me about certain things. I'm like, I don't know. We'll go home and try to find out what it was about. But it was all about just having fun. Like, hey, do you see, which way is this elk walking? Do you see these tracks? Like, you see how it's pointed this way or how it's spread? That means it's going downhill, not. And it's just, it's so fun. And then when you have an older child and you've taught them everything, then you hear her teaching your younger kids, then you just sit back and you're like, all right, like this is, it's coming together, you know? But it was just all about having fun, you know, going on, okay, if you roll these creeks, let's go look for crawdads in this creek. This is how you do it, you know? Just everything. It's just all about having fun. And, you know, that's what I try to do with a lot of these vets too that have never experienced it. You know, these guys could be, grew up in a city, joined the Marine Corps, got wounded, went back. They've never experienced the other. So I try to do that on every platform as much as I can to try to just teach people. And like you said earlier, man, you don't need to be an expert in it. But like my knowledge, I might have more knowledge than the guy that I'm hunting with, but I could hunt with somebody that has 10 times. Like I hunt with my buddy in Montana. That guy has killed more wolves, he's killed 30 bulls with like a recurve by himself. I'm like, you never even know it. And when he talks to you, I shut up and just listen to everything he says. The guy's lived his whole life on these mountains. And I'm just like, well, just listen, you know? And so it doesn't matter how old, how experienced you are, man, there's always something to learn. And so I'll just try to pass everything on to my kids and as many other people as I can. So I'm not an expert by any means. I screw up every day on the mountain, you know, learning something new or, you know, I should have brought that or should have brought this. It's way too heavy. It's not even on. But with whatever knowledge anybody has, pass it on. You know, you can help out somebody, so many people in so many different ways.
Oh, man. So true. So true. Bam, I really enjoyed this time with you, getting to know you and chatting. And just like, dude, it's good to know that there's people out in this world that are putting good out into the world. You know, like, this world.
I got a lot of karma on my plate. I've been trying to clear it up for the last few years. So.
I totally get it. Totally get it. Hey, guys, go follow Bam and all his adventures, but more importantly, get involved with Wishes for Warriors if you feel that call upon your heart, whether it's donating monetarily or donating with time or getting connected with veterans in your community that you know could use some support. Send them over to Wishes for Warriors, and we're going to make sure all the notes are in the show notes for you guys to go with for the links. Bam, thank you so much for this time. I really appreciated it. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, freedom on and stay soulful.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.